You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 66 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman, and with me, John Horstman. Wow. Can't even say my own name this week. And with me is the crew, first from Saskatoon, Canada. It is Kevin Hovdestad. Hey, Kev.
Good to be back, Mr. Horstme. I'm looking forward to tonight already. I can tell we're going to have a lot of fun.
I hate you so much.
You know what, man? It's been a long week. We all got a lot going on. We got a lot to get through. So let's try to just be friends for the next hour so we can actually talk Hearthstone. How about that?
Never. People don't listen to this show for us to
They're not
be
here
friends.
For the Hearthstone. Not at all.
they like the butting of heads and the bringing of separate opinions in which Kevin overrides them all with his sound logic. And then we just do it all over again the next week. From Kansas City, it is J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R.
Well met, John, and well met all of our listeners out there. I hope everybody is enjoying their happy Father's Day and enjoying their families this weekend. And thanks for those that are tuning in instead of watching the NBA Finals Game 7 tonight.
And I had no idea. I can get into sports, basketball. I just can't do it, guys. Somebody help me out. Like, send me a manual for enjoying basketball, and I think we would be A-okay.
I'm with you. I don't really watch it either, but Game 7's a Game 7, so that makes it interesting. But
That's true.
For the rest of it, I just don't really care.
That's fair. What's on your shirt? What is
my shirt? It's like a Calvin Hobbes Star Wars thing.
That's cool. That's what I thought it was. That's awesome. If you're not watching the video show, you should check it out. It's a pretty awesome shirt. And that wasn't a well-met t-shirt plug for once. Almost always, it ends up being a well-met t-shirt plug. Let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone, though. Kev, let's start with you, man. What were you up to this week?
Well, I mean, obviously, I wasn't here to do the show last week, so my week has been kind of nutty. I was away for 5 days doing a presentation in the capital of Canada, Ottawa, at a Canadian gaming summit. So I didn't have a lot of time. And the time I did have, a little bit of downtime I had, like in the airports and stuff, I played a bunch of Arena. I've been on this kick where I've been trying to play more Arena and just get refamiliarized with it, because I feel like it's a segment of the game that is kind of due to get some love. So I'm trying to make sure I'm up to speed on what the Arena meta is like, which classes are good, which cards are good. Cause it's something I did a bunch of when the game was new and then just stopped for a long time. Like I've never done a 12 win key. I've never done it because I hit the max back when it was 9 and then I never worried about it again. So that's how long it's been since I seriously played Arena. And I'm finding I'm averaging 7 or 8 wins on like an average deck, but I want to push obviously higher than that. So that's been kind of what I've been up to, I guess. At some point here, I need to sit down and actually grind out some ranks. I got up to 7 or 8 this month and then just sort of was like, okay, good enough for now. You know, I'll make sure I get above 5 before the end of the month. I don't know that June is going to be a good month for me to push Legend. I got a lot of other stuff on the go. But also, I don't know about you guys, but I'm finding the meta really like kind of overwhelming at times. There's too much to keep track of because there's so many archetypes that are just shifting so fast right now. I liked it when I knew that, like, I'm going to play my mid-range druid, I'm going to run into Patron Warrior or Handlock. Like, there was a part of me that liked that.
Yeah, it definitely is. Even though there's still a lot of core archetypes and a lot of it you can kind of figure out on the ladder. I know we've talked about it on this show, and we really like that figured out meta. Play the deck, not try to guess the deck type of thing. And so, what about you, JR? What are you up to this week?
Yeah, I'm in a bunch of this, about the same boat that Kevin's in, but I haven't caught the Arena bug yet. That's for sure. I've been playing a little bit of the Tavern Brawl, which this week's been sort of fun. because it's one of those that you can kind of build your deck and then it's basically over in four turns, because if you pull off your combo before someone else pulls off your combo, they basically concede and then it's done. So that makes for some fun and interesting games and some fun little scenarios like that. As far as like doing ranked this week, I played a handful of games. I think I went on a small winning streak once again with Midrange Hunter. That is my deck of choice right now. And I think that's what I was playing last week as well. I think I'm sitting at like rank 9. I haven't played in about 3 or 4 days now, but last I played I believe that was it. It's been a super busy weekend for me, so I haven't had a whole lot of chance or internet connection to be able to sit down and play some Hearthstone the last few days.
Now, are you running the version of Midrange Hunter that cuts high main? Because I know that's been a big thing lately.
No, I use dodge. High main.
Okay, but everybody, like, I watched a lot of people do this. They dropped high main because they were trying to dodge sap, hex, polymorph, all the, like, single shot removal stuff that just deletes the card instantly. And I think there was honestly, like, an argument to be made for that. Like, a lot of people kind of curved it down and just played out, like, you play two Call of the Wild because you can't not, but you curve way lower otherwise. And there's probably a little bit of mileage there. Like, high main's one of those cards that if it sticks, you win, but that's true of basically almost everything, right? Like, as soon as you control the board, you start winning. If you stick a Tundra Rhino, you won the game too. Like, it's not exclusive to high main, it's just having the board.
Rhino either. I think the biggest thing with high main is it's just too good of a card for me to take out to worry about the little removals like there, because it's like I can have a turn 6 high main, turn 5 if I have a coin, then turn 7 high main, turn 8 Call of the Wild, turn 9, Call of the Wild. It's just one of those things.
Do you always double high main into double Call of the Wild?
Not always. Not always. But yeah, that's how Hunter
works. I was going to say, then it doesn't matter what you're running in your six slot, because that's already pretty insane.
But it does
because
happen,
you hacked
though,
the card draw.
Yeah, it's just too good of a card to just take out, in my opinion, and worry about, you know, getting hexed or something like that. If they're going to use their hex on that, so be it. I will likely have something else to follow up with that.
Yeah,
I'm not
no,
worry
I
about it.
Legitimately, I was just curious because I think there's an argument to be made either way. And some people have had good experiences with cutting them on ladder. So I just wanted to see what you were doing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. But I just think the card's too good to just leave out. So I
fair
think
enough.
It's one of those you got to just play it out. And if they hex it, so be it.
All right, sure. John, what have you been up to on the ladder? Or have you?
I've got the Overwatch itch. I think I talked about it last week on the show, but Katie got an Xbox, so every night we're playing Destiny or Overwatch. And so that's been really nice, kind of new for me. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. So I haven't gotten to do a whole lot of playing, but I'm going to play a lot this week, make up for lost time. I also, too, wanted to shout out to one of our listeners, Karova, sent us a picture on Twitter, 100 wins in Tavern Brawl this week. Like, that is so insane. I'm glad you're liking it.
I have a friend who does that every week right now.
Oh, can't. I mean, that's
every week he posts a screenshot in our little Facebook group of 100 wins in every Tavern Brawl. And like some weeks it's not that big a deal, but like, there are weeks where I think, like, if I had to do that for, like, the two-player, the Mechazod one or whatever, like, I would probably never
no
play
way.
Hearthstone again.
Yeah, there's no way I could do it for that. I was like, those two-card combo ones, sure. Whatever
the
it
ones
was,
where they're
pick
quick,
two.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, the ones where they're quick and you can just reasonably guarantee a 50%+ win ratio.
Right, and this isn't incredibly quick. It's not slow, but it's not quick either.
I it wasn't too bad, but there's no way I can think about getting 100. I think I got like 8. That was good enough.
100
for me.
Wins, it would be like probably about 75% of my ladder time for a whole month. And then to get that into like a week, like that's amazing. So kudos to you, sir. Let's go ahead and jump into the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Before we do news, we do want to take a moment to thank our friends of the show. So to the four people who are our strongest supporters out there on Patreon, Martin Z, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Coral. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate that a ton. If you want to learn more about how to support the show or become a friend of the show, visit us at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast.
So jumping into the news this week, small little thing, but Blizzard just came out with their one button authenticator. So if you've played other Blizzard games, authenticators are probably second nature. Maybe not so much for Hearthstone because you have it on mobile and tablet and all these other different platforms. But basically in the past, you would either get a code that you'd have to type in within like whatever it was, like 45 seconds or something like that. And then so every time you wanted to log into a game, and if you logged into anything else or didn't log in a long time, you had to put this code in. But basically now what it does is you log in and then you just hit authenticate on your phone and boom, you're up and running. If you don't have an authenticator, get an authenticator. It's good security. It's just good practice. And especially if you play other games that are a little bit more devastating to be hacked, like Diablo and, oh my gosh, World of Warcraft, definitely have an authenticator.
It's a good idea just for your account, even if you don't use it because you are playing Hearthstone exclusively on like iOS or Android and you never see the authenticator because it's fetching it from your phone or whatever. It's perfectly reasonable to just install it and have it so that your account doesn't get compromised. And then if you do need to get your account restored for some reason through like Blizzard's customer service, having it is a huge help.
And I agree, like two-factor authentication is very important, especially this day and age, on anything you're doing over the internet, whether it's online banking, gaming, anything with your account on it, even like streaming to Twitch or something like that, to have that extra factor where it messages you a code or something like that. It's very important to have that so you can protect your account in this day and age. I still have the little physical key fob as my authenticator.
Here comes the brag.
Yeah. But no, it's not bragging. I need to switch it to my phone because that thing is like so 2007. But you know how difficult it is to get that taken off your account?
Like, I was really hoping you would say 2008 so we could jump in with like a 2000 and late joke. I was so ready. So ready.
But I've had it for so long. Like, I was looking into what it takes to get that taken off your account, and you have to basically get your driver's license and fax your information in or something to that effect. And
wow.
I just want to easily take
and
it
you
off
can't
my
drive
and my
so
phone.
Basically you're screwed,
right? I have this little key fob for the rest of my life.
Does the key fob have a battery?
It might.
Is it like
it has to? Yeah.
How do you, I wonder what battery that takes or what happens if it goes dead? I'm assuming like one of those little watch batteries, right?
Yeah, it probably lasts for years at a time.
I'm sure people love.
There's no way for me to, like, there's no place to take it apart.
Yeah, you're done. I'm sure people love hearing our authenticator talk, but let's talk about some Hearthstone. So the Whispers of the Old Gods promotion is ending July 5th. So make sure, if you've got an account that you haven't logged into for a while, or you've got alternate accounts, things like that, make sure to log in before July 5th, get your 3 free packs, and then you've got up to 10 additional packs you can win from daily quests.
Yeah, this is especially important if you are the type of person who at some point thought about making a secondary account or logging onto an alternate region. Like if you logged your account in on a European region and you normally play on North America and you haven't played on Europe in the last month or two since Whispers of the Old Gods has been out, flip over, just log in, make sure you get those free packs, you're guaranteed C'Thun, because that's a big deal to have for free as opposed to having to pay to craft it down the road if you decide you need it later.
Absolutely. And then also when Kevin was gone, JR and I talked a little bit about the Old Gods travel agency, and we're speculating a little bit about if that could be anything. Well, it's not. So don't worry. Blizzard has confirmed, or I guess refuted, rejected, denied that has anything to do with more than like a little promotional thing talking about the Old Gods. So
with that said, blame JR. I really like our speculation and ideas of what could be coming next, and I think we're not too far off.
That could be true. That could be. I mean, I would love to see a Pandaria expansion. I think that'd be really neat to have.
I would too.
Okay, what do we got next? HCT. Kev, you want to give us the update on APAC and HCT?
Yeah, so we just saw the tail end of the Hearthstone Championship Tour, Asia Pacific Spring Championship. If you haven't watched it and you intend to, fast forward 30 seconds right now. I'll wait. We want to congratulate Handsome Guy on his victory
The
APAC region.
Thank you.
No, that's he was talking to me.
Guys, come on. Low hanging joke. We can do better than that.
I don't know if we can. No,
maybe we can't. You're
Hashtag
right.
Dad jokes.
It is Father's Day. Apropos of something. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Handsome Guy played a really phenomenal series. It really nice to see him go through after he got as far as he did in winter to now come back and do it again in spring. Like, he's a surprisingly consistent player. And I think he's one of the people to really watch out for now that he's qualified to go to BlizzCon, which, for the record, we now know 6 of the people who will be competing at the Hearthstone Championship Tour Global Finals at BlizzCon. The winter winners, Amnesiac, Dione, Naiman, and Breath from China. And then the 2 spring championships that have been completed so far, Tice from Europe and Handsome Guy from APAC. We'll have the America's winner coming up here really soon. And then China is kind of TBD. We don't really know.
Cool. All right. I mean, is there anything else we want to hit on here? Is there anything? We've got America's championship, I believe, coming out this weekend, right? So. That'll be coming up soon. Is there anything else we should hit here, or should we talk some meta stuff? Let's just do it.
Beta or join up.
All right. Meta. Every week we're talking about the meta, bringing you everything that's new going on so you can be successful in the ladder without having to sprawl over spreadsheets and the subreddits and all that kind of stuff. We'll do that for you. Give it to you in a nice little audio format on your way to school, work, hanging out at home, whatever. So first, we always talk about the Tempo Storm meta snapshot, and this is the 5th snapshot since Standard has hit. And Tier 1 hasn't really changed a whole lot. We saw Control Warrior and Aggro Shaman do a little flippy floppy. And then the rest of it, you can send me your emails for that one. And then Temple Warrior in 3rd, Zulok in 4th. But besides that, I want to hear your guys' thoughts on what Tempo Storm is saying about the meta this week. Kev?
I mean, I don't think there's any massive surprises here. I mean, there's a couple of things that are maybe being favored because they do well with the late game board flip scenarios against some of the more control decks that are now emerging, with Control Warrior and C'Thun Warrior and stuff making a big comeback. You're seeing like Yogg Druid and stuff come out of nowhere. Druid actually back in the meta in a slight fashion, which is neat, I guess. But on the whole, I don't think there's any big surprises here. Weapon classes are still running the show, and basically the only thing holding the shaman of the world in check is Zoo. So it's just kind of like there is a bit of a cycle there. Weapons are beating Zoo, Zoo's beating shaman, shaman's beating everything else. I don't know. I don't know that there's a whole pile to say about how Temple Storm is ranking these right now. I will say I think there's probably going to be some evolution of some more control decks coming, looking at what's popular right now. A lot of these decks rely on chip damage to get to a point where they can close out the game because they're not running a lot of card draw. They don't have a lot of ways to refill in the late game. So they tend to run out of steam, right? They're very prone to kind of getting stuck in top deck wars if they trade evenly. So there's probably room for somebody to run a good sustainy style of deck, something that uses tournament medics again, like the old school Elise Warrior, or like... I'm trying to think, like, Control Priest obviously isn't going to happen, but something in those veins, I think there's still room for some iteration there. Control Shaman even could potentially make a comeback here. But other than that, yeah, I'm not shocked by any of this.
What do you think, JR?
I'm with Kevin. I'm not too shocked, especially with Tier 1. I don't know if I'd have Control Warriors number 1. But I mean, that's nitpicking. It's Tier 1 deck. We know it's a Tier 1 deck. And I agree with all of their Tier 1 deck choices. Tier 2, I think, is where it gets a little bit interesting. I think it's telling that Paladin is basically nowhere to be seen for the most part until you get to about tier 3. Rogue, even Miracle Rogue, has kind of fallen off at the bottom of tier 2. And N'Zoth Rogue is just a little below that. But the biggest surprise to me was Tempo Mage has jumped up quite a bit. I do believe it was still a tier 2 deck, but now they have it as like basically the number 6 deck in the game on spot 2 and tier 2. And the interesting thing for me for that is we now have two decks in tier 2 that use the ever controversial Yogg-Saron with Tempo Mage and Yogg-Druid.
Kevin and I, if you are watching the video, you need to go back. Kevin and I, as soon as he said Yogg-Saron, start shaking our head.
Yeah. I'm the one on the podcast that likes that card.
Oh my God.
The other two just
We're not going here. We're not going here this week. Continue with Yogg-Saron.
If you want.
Nope, we're not doing it.
But the thing about this Tempo Mage deck, and the reason why I think it jumped up so high, is on Reddit, Hotform posted a huge guide about it, how to play the deck, when to play Yogg, and things like that, and he hit number one legend with that deck. So that's likely the reason for the popularity of that deck, and I wouldn't imagine it's going to stay there as long as it does.
JR, I will make you a little bit happy. On stream, I've been trying to play some more fun decks, and so I was playing Yogg Hunter, and so that was pretty fun, playing some Yogg-Saron Hunter. Played like 7 games with it, didn't draw Yogg once, and I think I won like 4, so... There you go. That's all the evidence you need about Yogg-Saron right there in a nutshell.
And I think here in the next week or two, Martin, who is a patron of the show and also writes for BlizzPro and puts together some pretty good infographics.
Amazing
stuff.
Next
week or two, he's putting one together about Yogg that I think is going to be pretty good, that some people will be very interested in.
So cool.
Be on the lookout for that.
Okay, we're not going to get into the Yogg thing. The one thing I do want to touch on since we're on the subject is I don't love the fact that the game has so many of these cards now that just flip everything at the end, right? I didn't like it a huge amount with Elise, but at least Elise kind of you played as sort of a vaguely tempo-y card. It had a purpose in the early game, but there's so many now with all the dig 10 drops and stuff. Like the whole game is just the first half plays predictably and the back half is anything goes, shenanigans run rampant and...
That's kind of the theme, though, that they came out with the old gods. Like, well,
I'm hoping that, like, the design direction shifts and goes back the other way a bit, and we get some consistent early and mid game again, because I think the game is due for that.
I think we will. I think it was exactly this. Let's put these 4 cards in and just see what people are able to do with them. And yeah, a lot of people asked for. Before old gods, comeback mechanics that aren't like AOE based.
Right, and not Flame Strike 2.0. Yeah,
they got them, but I don't know what to say. It's just it's not the most fun thing in the world when I'm dominating the board, but a guy draws his C'Thun before me or his Yogg or something like that, and that ends up being what wins or loses the game.
Yeah, Yogg is one of those weird things where it can really turn the game in your favor if it goes the right way and he clears a board if the person's like not so far behind that they can easily come back if they have a not even that lucky, just a fairly decent Yogg turn, Yogg's gonna Yogg, so...
The Yogg House. Okay. Yeah. What else do we need to hit here on Tempo Storm? Nothing really surprising here. I mean, honestly, it's kind of boring. On the second half of Tier 2, we've got C'Thun Druid and Yogg Druid. And then, as JR said, Tempo Mage rose up quite a bit, like 7 or 8 spots. But besides that, things have kind of stayed pretty static. So let's jump on to this next one then. This one I'm really excited. to talk about because they've been doing some awesome stuff. So Vicious Syndicate, they're now in week number 5 of their Data Reaper report, and they've elaborated again. Every week I feel like they've added something, and this week is a huge addition. So on top of your standard kind of what decks are you seeing and how are they represented? How are the classes represented on ladder? Now, Vicious Syndicate, basically they tracked 27,000 games this last week, which is like 3 or 4 times the most that we've seen in the past. I think it was like 11,000. So I guess like 2.5 times what we've seen. They also added power rankings. So based on the meta at certain ranks, they then input decks with win ratios. And based on what you're seeing in those ranks, what the win rate should be with those decks. So pretty cool. A lot of professional Hearthstone players do something for this for like Conquest. You have like your perceived field of what you think people will bring, and that helps you decide what you should bring based on what you think your win rates are against those. But this is that on steroids. So we've got a lot to go through. But Kevin, you always do it so well every week. I'll let you start us off with this one.
Sure. So like you said, 5th version of this report, and it's got a really cool live tracker now that's been built into it, right? The live meta tracker. From Naramo, which we talked about a little bit previously. I'm really excited to see how this is all kind of going to come together. With the amount of data they have, it's still not as significant as the Chinese stuff that we looked at a couple weeks ago. But on the whole, we're able to get a really good picture of what exactly is out there right now in terms of most popular classes, most popular archetypes, how they're performing, where they appear as you're ranking up in particular. I know that a lot of people go to this report specifically to see what they're going to run into in the rank 5 to rank 1 grind to legend. So the most popular archetypes out there right now are mid-range hunter, zoo, and mid-range shaman in that order. But the most popular class continues to be warrior by a huge margin, and warrior also, if you go into the live report, is actually showing as the strongest performing class at the legend rank. So warrior in a really great place, I think in large part because of the diversity, and it's also pretty heavily overreported at the top. So Vicious Syndicate's audience is obviously fairly hardcore. You're looking right now at a combined total of what does it say here? Just under 5,000 games that have been submitted to their live tracker in the last 24 hours. Of those almost 5,000 games, nearly 1,000 of them are at the legend rank alone. So it's very much a top heavy report. But I think it's still useful data to have. And it does show that the classes that are succeeding are the 4 that you would expect, right? Warrior doing slightly better than Warlock, doing slightly better than Shaman, doing slightly better than Hunter.
Have you guys played Pirate Warrior? I'm just curious. Have you guys tried Pirate Warrior?
Not the modern version. Not at all.
I have not.
Should we do that for post show? Should we run some Pirate Warrior? I'm really interested with how this deck works because it ranks pretty well. There's people playing it quite a bit. So I'd be really interested to see how it does. Anyways, maybe we'll run that after the show. All right. So what else do you want to hit on this one, JR?
I think the interest, like, I really enjoyed the power rankings, and I think that's a good indication of possibly, like, to look at that compared to what we're seeing with Tempo Storm in a way. And the most interesting thing to me, if you compare the two, is Tempo Storm, we're talking about Control Warrior was sitting at number 1 rank, you know, tier 1 rank 1, bam. But we look at the power rankings here, and Control Warrior is tier 4. With Dragon Warrior being number 1. Of course we still have Zoo Warlock being near the top, Aggro Shaman being near the top, Temple Warrior being near the top. But I'm curious to I'm wondering why there's that huge difference between Control Warrior, which Tempo Storm is saying is number 1, whereas this, with data behind it, is showing, no, that's probably not the case. It only has a, you know, according to this, it has, what, a 46.7 win percentage? And we have it at tier 4. I'm wondering what you guys think about that.
A lot of it, honestly, I think has to do with the, if you look at the matchup chart on the Vicious Syndicate report, and you go through and look at how they're performing in terms of matchups, the statistical data obviously will suggest that it's maybe not doing as well overall. But I think what you look at is you look at the prevalence of the matchups that would be most common, especially at high ranks, and the quality of pilots of the deck, right? When you get up to those higher ranks, the legend level control warrior player is doing a very different thing with that deck than somebody who's trying to grind their way up at rank 15 with it. And the ranking data, I think, is because it's parsing so much information from so many different ranks, maybe skews a little bit towards an average, because in theory, if you got all of the data out there, everything is slowly converging towards 50%, right? In terms of player win ratio, deck win ratio, that's what's happening. That's what the game is balanced towards. So it's only player skill that creates outliers. I mean, if you're looking at the matchup chart right now, you can go through and you can see there are decks that do very, very poorly overall for design reasons. I think we can all agree that, like, Control Paladin, Control Priest, they're decks that are being punished by the way the game is played right now. But a lot of the other stuff kind of just ends up being like the data is basically null. It just kind of zeroes out to nothing. You know, Temple Warrior, in theory, is one of the strongest decks in the game right now, but it doesn't have oppressive matchups against anything. So I think a lot of what Tempo Storm has done is they've looked at what's going to be popular and how will that perform for people who are able to tech it correctly and play it correctly versus just what would the data suggest.
Yeah, I also think because of mid-range Hunter being so popular right now, so mid-range Hunter, Control Paladin, C'Thun Warrior, C'Thun Druid, Control Warrior gets absolutely stomped. But the big one there, I think, is the mid-range Hunter. So even though it's got actually really solid matchups against the rest of the Warrior, except for C'Thun Warrior, it's got really solid matchups there for the Warrior Mirror match. It does well against, well, slightly favored against like Zulok. And so because it's got some of those good matchups, I think Tempo Storm looked at that and goes, out of all these top tier decks right now, Control Warrior is at least slightly favored with all of them except mid-range Hunter. Whereas Vicious Syndicate takes a look at the actual frequency that you're seeing those decks and weighs that against and be like, well, you're seeing this. I don't know what it was. I think it was like 16% of the time, we'll just say, or something like that, 14 or whatever. And I think that is probably the one of the key differentiators for why it maybe is seated so low despite having, but it doesn't have really incredible, phenomenal matchups except against like what, Freeze Mage, right? Patron Warrior and Beast Druid. The rest of them are just slightly favored. So I would actually call out and say, I think Tempo Storm probably isn't accurate about that. Although the best Control Warrior players in the world, like VLPS, Sho, are still doing work with that deck. So a lot of it too is just a skill cap as well. But I think all that would have to do with it.
At the end of the day, Control Warrior and Dragon Warrior aren't that fundamentally different. They play a lot of the same cards. It just depends on if you want that dragon synergy along with it or not.
I think that's fair. I have to take a look. I saw a Dragon Warrior deck that was faster. I don't think that they're differentiating that one here, though.
Yeah, that's more of an aggro dragon warrior. I think I know the one you're talking about.
It's like a tempo dragon.
The one that they list here, dragons too, yeah.
Yeah, the one they list here is very much control-oriented with a lot of removal and things like that.
Can we just like take a moment, though, to really reflect on how ridiculous Warrior is right now that we can even have that conversation? Like, we are trying to distinguish between two flavors of Dragon Warrior that are both playable on the ladder. If you called, like, us from a year ago and said, hey, BT Dubs, you have to deal with like 17 unique playable warrior archetypes in a year, we'd just be like, no, that's impossible. It's patron or control, deal with it. Like, Yeah. I'm blown away by how well designed the warrior cards of this expansion have been. Like, warriors in such a good place right now.
Yeah, Ravaging Ghoul. Like,
you're welcome, Hearthstone community. You are welcome.
We even said it was going to be a pretty ridiculous card, and sure enough, that's one of the main cards that has made warrior so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
In standard.
Totally. So what are you guys going to run this week then? So with all the stuff that we've got from a Tempo Storm and Vicious Syndicate, what are you guys going to be running on the ladder this week? JR, go first.
I think I want to try Hot Forms Tempo Mage. I want to play with Yogg. I think that's what I want to do. I want to go have fun, and I want to try Yogg with either Mage or Druid. Likely what will happen is I just continue playing mid-range Hunter because that's just what I'm used to right now. But I want to play Yogg. I think that's what I want to do.
Show's over.
You guys are shaking your heads. Like,
show's over. Get out.
You want to just cancel the show just
get
because
out.
I mentioned Yogg.
Looking for a third. Wanting to buy somebody who won't stop. Anyways, what
somebody
about you?
Somebody who doesn't
respects
like
the integrity of the game of Hearthstone.
Kevin, go ahead.
Well, I have been playing a lot of C'Thun Druid. It's not a good deck in the meta right now. It loses to Zoo, and I would say splits pretty evenly with Aggro Shaman and basically everything else. Like, it doesn't have any classes that it does super well against. It beats Hunter and Warrior as a general rule. But I actually, I hate to say it, but accepting Yogg, which I will just cut and replace with something that is less ridiculous, I actually think Tempo Mage is probably the way to go right now. Mage is a class that's kind of coming up the raw burn in the current Tempo style where you've got the Forgotten Torches and everything teched in there. Like, I think there's an argument to be made for Tempo Mage as one of the best decks in the game right now. But I think I personally would want to do something to improve the cycle a little bit in it. Otherwise, all you have a standard one is the two Arcane Intellects and two Acolytes of Pain, right? So I don't know. I think Tempo Mage, but I'm going to have to sit and do some hard looking at like what the right techs are given what I'm running into.
All right, cool.
They're not Yogg for the record.
All right, should we jump into our next segment here? Let's do it. Let's go on.
The Pro Corner.
Sounds so good. That bass hit. I just wanted to use that bumper again. It doesn't really have anything to do with what we're about to talk about, but it just feels good. But before we jump in, one more time, we want to thank our patrons of the show, Martin Z, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Coral. Thank you all so much for your support. And let's talk about some of what we want to talk about this week. So we're calling this new segment tentatively Fireside Fundamentals. And so basically what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks is talking about some fundamental concepts and core concepts to Hearthstone the game and talking about them on the show. And this week what we're actually going to be tackling is tempo. So we actually get emails about this all the time. What is tempo? How do you say tempo? And I think we answered an email about it about a week, 2 weeks back or something like that. Somebody asked about tempo and we answered it kind of shortly. And then after listening to it, I was like, you know what? We should probably spend some more time talking about tempo. So that's what we're going to do this week. Kev, take it away. What's tempo?
What is tempo? Okay, so the reason we're doing this is because Jake DeSnake put up a really good article on mana crystals, and there was a really great conversation over on the competitive Hearthstone subreddit about tempo as a core concept to the game. And I did that thing you're not supposed to do where I read the comments, engaged with people on the internet. I tried really hard to explain tempo to people, and it's a concept that's really hard for people, so we're going to try and do the best we can with this to kind of bring it back down to a level that makes it understandable for people. So basically, in the game in Hearthstone, you always have one of three primary resources available to you, is Jake's argument: card advantage, your life total, and tempo. And these are sort of three competing resources. Everything that you do in the game is going to add to or remove from one of these three resources. If you've watched much of the HCT stuff, especially the European stuff, you'll know Sottl, the commentator, and Simon actually does a lot of writing for Icy Veins. He and I used to work together. And so he wrote it up a piece on tempo on Icy Veins that, where he says the best way to understand tempo is to look at it in relation to your mana. Tempo is a measurement of the speed of your progression through the game, and the main limiting factor to your speed is the mana restrictions on each turn. So tempo has to do a lot with curving out. Are you ahead of what you would expect to be accomplishing or behind based on the cost of your cards over the period of time that you've played? It's fundamentally, it's about speed, right? The word tempo is a musical term and it literally refers to speed or pace.
Nice. That was beautiful and eloquent.
As always.
And turned me on a little bit. So kudos to you.
We're off to a good start then.
So I really like, so one of the questions that we wanted to ask, and JR, I can probably have you elaborate on this one, but when people are, how do people think about tempo? Like when you're thinking about the term tempo, you know, is there a really kind of easy way to explain it going beyond like the pace to understand like the overall concept?
I see it a lot as some of it is not necessarily like playing value for, you know, if you have a six mana card and you play high main, that could potentially be a tempo play depending on what you did the first five turns and what you have going on the next few turns, and also depending on how many cards you have in your hand. A lot of tempo could be thought of, in my opinion, could be thought of as controlling the board, and also having, depending on how many cards you have compared to how many cards your opponent has. So if you can control the board while also control your opponent's board while also having plays to make and keep that going, that means you have tempo over your opponent, because your opponent's on the back foot at that point trying to respond to everything that you're doing while you are basically making the game your own. You have tempo. You are going ahead and pushing it forward and, you know, probably going for victory at that point.
Right. So I mean,
that's how I see it.
Yeah, we use a term all the time, and we've probably done it on the show without really explaining it well. The concept of a clock, right? Putting your opponent on a clock. And what that means is, given the state of the board, how many turns will pass before I kill my opponent? If I've got a six attack minion and they're at full health, it will take me five turns to kill them. They're on a five turn clock. Fundamentally, tempo is about increasing your own clock as much as possible and decreasing your opponent's clock as much as possible, right? So in a perfect world, what the tempo player wants to do is clear their opponent's board, which maximizes their own clock, and then keep as many minions on the board as possible, which minimizes their opponent's clock. And that's where some of the relationship of things like efficiency of removal factors into what is a good tempo play. There's a reason we call it the Fiery Wind Axe, right? Because it's actually one of the best tempo cards in the game. You can trade a very small amount of your initial life total, which is a resource that you have in spades at the start of the game, to sustain tempo by maintaining board presence, which improves your reach. It keeps your opponent on a shorter clock, and they're forced to respond to it in kind in some way. And if you can stay in the position where you keep adding things to the board and asking questions that your opponent has to answer using removal or just by taking that damage to the face because they don't have an answer for a turn, it's always about extending your reach. You want to have as much reach as possible and deny your opponent as much reach as possible. It becomes more complicated than that when you start to think about some of the more complex turns, like overplaying into removal, right? A lot of people can sit and do the math and say, okay, yes, the best play for me is to put down a Piloted Treader on turn four. That's a really great tempo play. But you also have to start and think about what happens if I don't run any card draw, right? Since card advantage is one of the resources we discussed earlier, and I've played all my cards, I've emptied my hand, and I lose everything to a Flame Strike. Well, now you're going to have a series of hugely tempo negative turns, as you can't spend all your mana, you can't develop a board, you've got very little reach. So sometimes tempo becomes one of those things that you have to weigh against the probability of, like I said, future reach. How much reach can I have next turn? And if there's a big swing removal turn coming up, sometimes the correct play isn't to extend into it. The example I give when people ask me about this is, I say, why would you, if you're winning the game, if your opponent has no board, why would you play a fourth minion and potentially set up Mind Control Tech for your opponent? Mind Control Tech is a terrible tempo play if you have three minions on the board, and an incredible tempo swing for your opponent if you have four. So in a lot of cases, if that's a card you expect to see, you don't play that fourth minion. It might look tempo negative on your own turn, but you're denying your opponent even more tempo.
I do that like 3 times a week. Thanks for reminding me.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate that. So, Kev, you kind of hit on it, but I'm going to kind of ask you again just for the listeners to kind of be able to... We've been practicing this all week, and we've kind of been talking about it in Slack, and so we kind of know what we're all talking about, what we want to talk about. But how would you say tempo is gained? So how does a player gain tempo? When you're a new player, obviously... The easiest way is, well, have basically more attack and health on your side of the board than your opponent does, and then you have tempo. But obviously, that it's much more complicated than that. So how is tempo gained from that perspective?
Imagine tempo as the most efficient way for you to develop your game state. So in some cases, weapons are a really great example, right? Weapons are among the most efficient removal in the game because they've got durability. They last for multiple turns, and you can trade health, right? Your own health, for the ability to maintain a board presence and sustain the tempo of your board advantage. Tempo isn't board advantage. Those words don't mean the same thing, but they have a lot of correlations. Generally speaking, the tempo player will always want to use a weapon to remove a minion rather than use a minion to remove a minion, because that does affect their future reach and keeping their opponent on a shorter clock.
Something I really like is the tempo player is the one asking the questions that the other person has to respond. You might be behind on board, technically, like Kevin kind of just said, where tempo isn't just having more on your board than the opponent. But it's having the questions that your opponent has to answer. Does that sound correct to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, I think, useful to give people examples of what we're talking about. So like you might see somebody play an aggro minion on 3. OK, something like a Wolf Rider, right? Wolf Rider is not a tempo card. It's a card designed to deal damage. It's going to go face. The difference between the aggro player and the tempo player is aggro wants to get the clock as short as possible at every possible expense. They're never going to trade. They're never going to value efficiency. The tempo player maximizes efficiency. So tempo would play a card like Blackwing Technician on 3, right? A 3/5 for 3 is an incredible body. Trades very efficiently, can probably go 2, if not 3, for 1 at that stage of the game, as opposed to the Wolf Rider, which is going to die to everything. It's going to die to a Flame Juggler, right? Just the juggle, not even the body. Like it's a card that is designed exclusively as a way to generate emergency reach or go face. It's not a card that's designed to maximize your tempo. So you have to think about how you can get ahead of curve, right? And being ahead of curve is almost always what the tempo player wants.
I'm going to make you go back 1 second. You said 2 things that I want you to kind of expound upon. Reach. What the frick is reach, Kev?
Reach is how much damage you can do, right? It's from your hand and your board, how much damage you can do. It's when you're calculating lethal, you're calculating reach. So when your reach exceeds your opponent's health total, you have lethal. But until that point, that's how much damage you could do. So if right now you emptied everything in the tank, every minion goes face, every spell goes face, every weapon goes face, that's the sum of your reach. That's how much damage you can deal in one turn. And it's a number that you're constantly looking for because you're trying to calculate lethal. But reach is really the fundamental of the tempo player. How can I maximize not my current reach, but the reach that I'll have left next turn?
All right. And then JR, I feel like you'd be a good one to answer this question. Kevin said something about playing on curve. So for our newer listeners who maybe aren't so used to the terminology, what does it mean to play on curve?
Playing on curve is basically like you have 2 mana, you're going to play your best 2 mana spell. 3 mana, you're going to be playing your best 3 mana spell, so on and so forth. If you have a perfect curve out, you're like, think of the old days of before Standard hit, when Secret Paladin was the best play on curve deck that there was, because you can play Secret Keeper, you can play Shield and Mini Bot for 2, then Muster for Battle for 3, and then Piloted Shredder for 4. That was completely
playing on curve. I'm having flashbacks, by the way. Yeah. I'm about to like seize up. can't handle that curve anymore. All right. All right, cool. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so, if it helps people to have those kinds of examples, right? Secret Paladin is a great example of a very tempo positive deck, right? It's a deck that creates a lot of efficiencies in terms of removal. It's a deck that allows you to trade up, keep minions on the board using buff spells and Divine Shield and all that kind of stuff. The Death Rattle from Shredder, Blessing of Kings. Like, it's a deck that values tempo almost explicitly. And it runs no card draw. It runs nothing that would be anti-tempo. So to give you an example of low tempo decks, right, there are cards that are tempo negative. Anything that just makes you spend a card and doesn't develop your board, doesn't give you more reach for that future turn, is going to be anti-tempo. So there's lots of decks that don't care about tempo. Decks like Control Warrior, Freeze Mage, these are decks that are inherently anti-tempo because they're focused on staying alive, cycling, accessing removal. It's never efficient, right? What they're doing is wildly inefficient, but they're building towards a late game where they can basically take control, pun intended, of the game back from the tempo player who has exhausted the tempo available to them, right? The tempo player is going to run out of cards. They're going to get to turn 7, turn 8, turn 9, and run out of ways to continue to develop their threats, and they've exhausted their ability to extend their reach because they're now playing 1 3-mana minion on turn 10 and they can't do anything with that additional mana, which is where the tempo archetype kind of falls apart.
All right. Okay, so last thing before I think we get out of here, there's one other thing that we wanted to differentiate, and something we see a newer and even more advanced Hearthstone players mix up all the time: tempo versus value. Kev, tell us the difference between tempo and value.
That's such a hard question to answer in a way that's going to make sense to people. So tempo is about developing your board, right? Tempo is about extending your reach, like we've said already. It's about maximizing the potential of your next turn. Value is more of a question of, did I get the most possible use out of a resource? So for example, right, the value question of a weapon is a really good one. You use it to sustain your tempo, but playing a weapon is not a tempo play. It allows you to keep the minion alive, which advances that tempo style of play. It's about having an efficient answer to the question that's been asked, right? Whether that's cheap removal or a card that's very flexible, right? Like, you get a lot of value out of a card like Fireball. You can use a Fireball to remove a minion that is wildly more expensive, and that gives you value, right? Which is not the same as tempo, but if you can spend 4 mana to remove a 6-mana minion, you got really great value out of that. And deny your opponent tempo, if that's a useful way to think about it.
I like thinking about it in a way where tempo is basically the cause. Value, a lot of the time, is the effect of having tempo, because you're trying to make your opponent do something inefficiently, right? When you 2-for-1, 3-for-1, a minion that you played on tempo, a lot of time what you get from tempo is value. I always think of, I think Tempo Mage and like Flame Waker is one of those things where you get that Flame Waker out and you get a couple of those cheap spells out. Now you go from tempo to value very quickly.
Yeah, if it's a useful example, right, you have to think of something like, what's the best tempo play you could make on a given turn versus what's the best value that you could get on a given turn. I think about something like, they're not the same cost, but for sake of argument, like Malkarok is a great tempo play, right? You get that emergency weapon, you can get the efficiency of removal, versus something like Sylvanas, which has incredible value. Sylvanas is anti-tempo, technically. She's below cost below stats for her cost, but there's a huge amount of value to having that body on the board and giving the opponent the problem of, how do I get around Sylvanas being in play? So you're always doing one of those two different things, either maximizing the efficiency and gaining tempo or maximizing value with a different type of threat.
Cool. All right. I think that about caps us on our little first ever Fireside Fire Mentals.
Fireside Fire Mentals.
You guys like this segment, have ideas for future ones, send us your thoughts and emails to wellmet@blizzbro.com. We'd love
attention,
to make these.
Mr. John Horst me.
Yeah. Well, I'm basically the only one who gets the emails anyways, and then we share them in Slack, so everyone gets them. But we want to know what you guys would like to have covered here so that it's helpful and that we can get back to some of the cool strategy stuff with Hearthstone, because while news and meta stuff is kind of fun to talk about, you know, it's fun to just get back to some of the things that make Hearthstone great, you know? All right. Well, I think, boom, I can't. You're giving me that look, Kev. I need to know what that look is.
Something happened, John. I didn't realize this. I just looked right now. We just hit our last Patreon milestone.
Oh, we hit it last week.
I didn't know. No one told me.
I expected you to know.
If I didn't have a chance to listen to the show. Week.
I had no idea.
We were even talking about what we would make our extra episode be in Slack today.
I had no
idea. You
were
a part of this conversation.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited right now. I had no idea.
Cool. Well, you're about to be even more excited because no reason. So if you want to hear us, you're shut the God. It's been a long, I left to work yesterday with like the worst migraine that I had in my life. Katie had to leave work early to come and see if I was okay because I literally passed out on my bed and she was worried about me. Came back in and I didn't recognize her for like 15 to 20 minutes. So give me a little slack, okay? A little bit of slack. If you have questions or thoughts about the show, send us your emails to wellmet@blizzbro.com. We don't get to talk about everyone on the show, but I do my best to reply to everything that's not trying to like sell us stuff. That's the only ones I don't reply to. If you want me to buy something, don't email this email, guys. Come on. We're better than that. All right. Next up, Patreon news, because Kevin is still catching up. JR.
So Patreon, yeah. So we hit the $400 mark on Patreon, which Woo! Is awesome. And if that continues to be at the end of the month, that means we will have a bonus episode once a month starting next month.
That's so cool.
Which is awesome. Now, our next level is if we hit $500, which is $100 more than we have right now, and we will do a tournament casted by us, and then we'll figure out the logistics of that tournament, if we're going to invite people, you guys into play, if we're going to bring pro players in, or how it's going to be done. It's going to be a well-met tournament, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be hosted by these two guys, because you don't want me hosting, although I probably will.
We definitely want JR. We want someone to bring Face Hunter and then hear JR just go so angry.
He has to pronounce all the player names. It's going to be great. Yeah.
Yes. We'll make all the hard words. We'll make JR pronounce them.
But if you want to give to us, that's how you go. Patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. We have a lot of awesome things on there that you can get, including little ringtones of me saying Loctar, oh God.
Oh, and, you mean this one?
Loctar! Oh, God. Right. Or coming and hanging out with us on Facebook. We have an awesome Facebook group where we post things on there once in a while and interact with our fans and things like that. Also, I believe you can get coaching on there and other things. So there's a lot of really cool things on there. So if you want to come check it out,
do it.
Check it out. Patreon.com/WellMetPodcast.
Awesome. And then Kev, iTunes stuff.
This is also backwards. We didn't get any new iTunes reviews this week, guys. But if you do leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that's a huge boost in terms of our visibility. Makes a big deal for the show's appearance in the different ranking systems that iTunes uses. And we really appreciate it. So we'll give you a thank you right here on the show. Hit up the podcast feed, search for Hearthstone or Well Met. Throw that 5-star review down. We'll read your name out right here next time.
Cool. Woo. All right, well, let's do some shout outs for the week, JR.
It's going to be another rough week for me. Lots of working. And if you're going to be in the Kansas City area and going to the Kansas City Developers Conference, I'll be there Wednesday through Friday, learning about coding things and networking with other software developers. It'll be a good time. And I'm going to give a shout out once again to all of our listeners and all of our dads out there. And if you're a dad, cool. If you have a dad, cool. You guys are awesome. Dads are cool.
Yes, they are. Kev, what about you?
A lot of the same. I'm back from my travels, which means I'm around to do more streaming, hopefully this week, play from some games, do the shows. Gonna be looking forward, obviously, to the upcoming holidays. We got the same long weekend, Canada Day coming up on July the 1st, and you guys doing Independence Day on July the 4th. All falls on the same weekend, which is very cool. Between now and then, not a whole lot. Yeah, things are good. Obviously, big shout out, like JR said, to dads. We got listeners who are dads. If you've got a really cool photo of like you and your kids playing Hearthstone or something that you want to tweet at us, we would love to feature those and talk them up a little bit, because I love that people are playing games like this with their kids or with their dads. I mean, if your dad's 84 and a big Hearthstone fanatic, I would like love to see that even more. Shout out to my old man who just got back from a trip today, but I had a chance to catch up with him, and big source of inspiration in my life. So thanks, awesome. Dad.
When I was a kid, we had an old Atari and we had Pac-Man with it, and my dad sat down one day to play Pac-Man and got so addicted to playing Pac-Man over that entire week. Like, there would be nights where he would stay up till like 5 or 6 in the morning playing Pac-Man, trying to get the highest score. And it was at that point he decided he could no longer play video games because it was too addictive for him. And that's all he ever played was Pac-Man. And he's like, okay, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. He never played another game.
My old man just made a post on something I put up on Facebook the other day telling people about how he was proud of me, because I'm doing all this cool stuff with esports and government and whatever, but also because I taught him how to play StarCraft back in the day.
Nice. Well, as for me, pretty low-key week. I don't actually have anything really planned except for work, so...
That's a lie. Yeah. You're going to play Overwatch every day.
I'm going to fill that stuff with Overwatch and Hearthstone. Don't get me wrong, but just like super unscheduled, unplanned type of stuff. So
what's your streaming schedule looking like these days?
It's been a little bit wonky because I've been trying to get back into health, trying to be healthy again. It was the whole semester thing. I didn't realize this last semester how unhealthy I had gotten. So I'm pushing that back in, and I'm running about 20, 25 miles a week. And that's nice. I'm usually doing that in the mornings, which means that I'm not staying up as late. So it's a little bit rocky right now, but I'm hoping to, if I don't stream tonight, I'm going to for sure stream tomorrow night. I'm actually doing a little test show with a friend called Levels, where we just have fun playing through some iconic levels of video games, past and present and kind of future. And so doing that, so we'll for sure be streaming there and doing those types of things. So yeah. Well, that's it for us this week. You can tune in together with your friends live every Sunday on twitch.tv/BlizzPro at 7 p.m. Pacific, or find us on your favorite podcast outlets for updates throughout the weeks. Throughout the week, follow us on Twitter at WellMedPodcast. WellMed is entirely supported by our fans. Find out more at patreon.com/WellMedPodcast. And we also have merch at store.blizzpro.com. Get a t-shirt, guys. Dang. I know it's hot out there in summer, but you will cool off in your well-meant t-shirt, because our shirts are cool. There we go. Got it. Full circle. Made it work. Whew. As always, a big thank you to Jake Buttonow at jakebuttonow.ca for music and site designs for our graphics. Thank you again for joining us for episode 66 of Well Met. See that? It said 65 on the notes. I said 66. Growth, guys. So much growth happening on this show right now. We'll see you next time. We're gonna go. Kev, say goodbye. JR, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. See you guys.
Well Met is a production of BlizzPro.com. The show records live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. To get the latest news and information about the show, follow us on Twitter at Well Met Podcast or join us on our subreddit at reddit.com/r/WellMetPodcast. If you would like to support the show, you can find out how at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. Yeah.